urged by you, Lord. We lift you up and magnify your precious name, God. You are so wonderful, Jesus. We love you. We glorify your precious name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen.
Alive in you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you, God. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Amazing love, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're on your feet, going to give you the opportunity to walk around and greet one another. One of the ushers will be at the back with the offering plate. And feel free to give unto the Lord as you make your rounds and greet one another in the name of the Lord.
Praise the name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name, Jesus, name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name. No other name that's higher, no other name that's stronger, no other name. Forever I will praise the name. No other name that can heal us, no other name that can free us, no other name. So precious, praise the name. Praise the name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name, Jesus, name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name. No other name that's higher, no other name that's stronger, no other name. Forever I will praise the name. No other name that can heal us, no other name that can free us, no other name. So precious, praise the name. Every nation of creation, we proclaim your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, God. We magnify your precious name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feels good being in the presence of the Lord. Song says, it feels so good just being here again. Feels so good feeling what I feel. And there's nothing I like better than God's children getting it. It feels so good just being here again. Do you feel that way? Hallelujah. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to make you aware of some upcoming events, things that are happening. The month of August is full of activities, things that are happening both here in the local assembly and things throughout the district. Tomorrow night, men and ladies, so it's for everybody, but it's in two different locations, okay? Men, if you would like to gather with us for a men's fellowship tomorrow night at my residence, they're in Sheridan, and the address is up on the announcements. If you do not have the address, you can see me, and I can give you my address. I do know where I live. And starting at 7 o'clock to around 9 o'clock or so, come out. We'll have some finger foods. We won't have a full-blown meal, but we'll have some finger foods and some, you know, some stuff to nibble on and drinks and refreshments just to get together and have a good time. And then ladies, Sister Robin is opening her home, and I'm assuming it's at the same time, 7 o'clock for you to come. And the small kids, they can swim in the pool, she says, so just have a good time together. And that's tomorrow night as well. So men's fellowship at my residence, ladies' fellowship at Sister Robin's residence. And so we encourage you to be a part of that if at all possible. And then something that Brother Tom is going to be talking with the youth. Yes, thank you. Concerning the gathering that is happening towards the end of this month. So he'll be talking with them. But what that is, just so in case parents, guardians, you hear about what this is, the gathering is, it's a big She's for Christ gathering. It's a big rally, if you will. They do a service on Friday night. And then after the service from midnight till like 7 a.m. the next morning, they have games. They have the, you know, the inflatable, what they call knocker balls when they, you know, get inside of them. And they got... There's a sign-up sheet that's got a list of the activities that's on there. The speaker for that night is Brother Jerry Jones, our general secretary. And we are planning to take the church van. And so if you would like to go, you can see Brother Tom or Brother Matt Woods. I think Brother Woods is going to be able to drive the bus down for us, the van down for. So if you have questions concerning that, please see Brother Kreger. He'll be talking to the youth about it tonight in class. So that's happening. And then we're not 100%, but we're like 90-something percent sure that we're going to be able to do a block party inviting kids to not vacation Bible school. I'm speaking prophetically concerning about future vacation Bible schools. We're talking about back to school bash that we do. I think that's on the 23rd? 19th. See, I was close. It was 4 days off. Yes. Okay, so I was right. The block party's on the 19th. Let me get all this straight. It'll be on the announcements, and I assure you the dates will be correct. Saturday the 19th, we're going to have a block party with the bounce house and cooking some hamburgers and hot dogs and just passing out invitations for kids to come to our back-to-school bash. And so there's a block party on the 19th. That's going to be down at the police station there in Sandwich. And then we're going to use that time to invite kids to come for the back-to-school bash that is happening on the 23rd. And so more information about that to follow, but did want to make you aware of those announcements, regularly scheduled services on Sunday, and looking forward to that. Let's take some needs of the Lord in prayer. If you have a need, why don't you slip up your hand, and we will, Sister Suhan. All right. Anybody else? Brother Ryan? All right. Certainly. Remember the family there. All right, Brother Al. Certainly. Certainly. I know we're still praying for the work situation there. Brother Al would much rather be in service on Wednesday nights than having to work. And certainly we make that continuing matter of prayer. So, Sister D. Certainly. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Certainly, certainly. Did I see your answer? All right, all right. Brother Jay? All right, certainly. You got to work the situation out. Brother Mike? All right, certainly. Sister Rosa? All right, yeah, certainly. Pray concerning that, certainly. All right. All right. All right, let's remember Nathan Ewing, certainly. Sister Pat? All right, yes, yes. Continue to pray for Sister Doris. Not feeling well. I spoke with her on the phone today, just battling vertigo, and they had a death in the family, and so she's just not doing well. So let's lift Sister Doris up before the Lord. Sister Sue Ann? All right, all right. So if you didn't hear that, if any of you have a New International Version that you would be willing to part with, we could get that to her, certainly. Sister Christy. All right. All right, certainly. Why don't you stand? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, but I'm going to do something a little bit off the wall. Sister Christy, I want you to go back with Sue Ann. And Sister Sue Ann, I want you to pray for Christy's blood pressure issue. And Sister Christy, I want you to pray for Sister Sue Ann's sciatic nerve issue. How about that? Do we believe in the power of prayer? Believe that we can pray for someone else's need, and in the midst, God can heal our own need? Do we believe that? Let's go to Him right now in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love You. God, I'm so thankful. Lord, that we be obedient to Your Spirit, God. Lord, to find Your power working and moving in our midst, God. To feel Your healing touch, God, as it happens in us, God. For by Your stripes we are healed, God. For the many issues, God, that are present here in this place, God. Circumstances of life, God. God, individuals dealing with terminal diagnosis, God. Individuals dealing with situations at work, God. You care about all those things, Lord. And we bring them to You in prayer. We believe, God, that You have the power to work in every situation, every circumstance, God. And we bind together in faith and we believe. We trust in Your power to work, God, to make Yourself manifest in our midst as we believe, God, and as we testify of Your goodness, God, of Your work in and among us, Lord. We love You, Jesus. We praise You. We honor You, God, for Your goodness, God. Jesus, we love You. We thank You, God, for Your healing power and touch upon us, God, for find Your strength and Your help, Your love, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love You, God. We praise You. We honor You, God, for Your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be Your precious name, oh God. Blessed be Your precious name, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, mighty God. Thank You, mighty God. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study, Into His Marvelous Light, a Bible study concerning salvation. Before I get into the study tonight, I want to read to you an email that I received. Thank you, Brother Kellum. He is he forwards once we get somebody tries to contact or make contact with the church via the website. It sends him an alert, and then he forwards it on to me. And so I just want to, I won't read the name of the individual. I just want to read you the email that I received. It says, subject, Into His Marvelous Light Bible Study. Here is the message. Thank you for sharing Bible study Into His Marvelous Light. I look forward to hearing the other two segments. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, but I just started studying this Bible study so I can teach others and win souls for Christ. This has been such a great help. Again, thank you. And then he puts his name. I don't know this individual. Evidently, he clicked on the website or the link via Facebook. Somehow, he was able to get to the Into His Marvelous Light Bible study that we're doing. And so it's always good when you have confirmation in situations like that. And so I don't know him. Maybe some of you may. I don't know him. But at least I don't know that I know him. But I think that's just encouraging to hear that people are, that they are accessing, they are finding ways to find out what's going on here, and obviously they are looking at the things and listening to the things that we are placing on the web. So thank you, Brother Kellum, for being so studious about that. We are going into session number 2. Into His Marvelous Light. We talked about in the Bible study there being 3 areas of study. Now, and some of you asked me, do we have these Bible studies? I'm going to order some of these Bible studies because I would hope that as a result of doing the study together as a church, you would feel confident enough to do this study with someone else. And so we're going to order these studies. It's just a little booklet. It's not very big. You can go through it real quick. You can do it in about an hour. Obviously, we're taking about 3 45-minute sessions, and because we're being a little more thorough than maybe we would be in just one initial setting. Excuse me. But so we're going to order some of these Bible studies and have them on hand. So as we conclude next week, hopefully we'll have those on hand and be able to give those out to you so that you can teach those to other people. But we talked about 3 areas of study in the Bible study itself, the Gospels, covering the words and the works of Jesus Christ. We dealt with that last week. We went into the Gospels. Tonight is the Acts of the Apostles, where we are covering the actions and preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts. What did they do? What did the apostles say? What did they preach concerning salvation? And then next week, we will talk about the epistles. We're going to cover the letters, obviously not all of them, but some of the letters that were written by the apostles or disciples to the churches that were established as a result of the book of Acts revival, what took place in the book of Acts, and then as it spread throughout that region, went into Samaria and then Gentile regions, and we'll talk about that a little bit tonight because some of that happens in the book of Acts as they go into the Samaria and they go to Cornelius and his household, and we're gonna look at that here in just a little bit. But those are the 3 areas of study incorporated into this Bible study, and they all deal with salvation. They all deal with what Jesus initially said about salvation. Into the Gospels, his words and his works, and talks about the apostles, the Acts of the Apostles, and then the epistles. And so this is where we ended off last week. This was the conclusion or near the conclusion of the study into the Gospels. It's found in Luke 24, verses 45 through 49. And I want to pick up where we left off so that there's continuity between last week and this week. So it will flow. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, a couple things, and I think we pointed this out last week, but we need to do so again. Here in verse number 47, Jesus is very specific about this, what's going to take place, okay? He tells them where it's going to be, beginning at Jerusalem, and he tells them that it's going to be among all nations, that there's going to be repentance and remission of sins that are going to be preached in his name, and it is going to start at Jerusalem. It's going to begin at Jerusalem, and it's going to be among all nations, okay? Everybody see that? Verse number 47. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus says this preaching of repentance and remission of sins is going to begin at Jerusalem among all nations, And you're to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem. You're to stay there until you are endued with power from on high. Okay? So we understand that this is some of Jesus' final words before he ascends up into heaven. Okay? And then the disciples make their way back to the city of Jerusalem. And there they are in the city of Jerusalem where we come to the day of Pentecost. So now we're going to talk about the Acts of the Apostles. This is part two. Here we are covering the actions and the preachings of the apostles. So let's start Acts 1. Acts 1 verses 3 through 5. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You notice how the continuity between Luke 24 and Acts 1. It's basically going back and saying this is what happened. When Jesus showed himself alive after his passion and he spake unto them things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. That happened in Luke chapter 24 where we just read. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Remember, he said, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He said, you're to go. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power. So here in Acts, it's reiterating that same thing, that same conversation that took place between Jesus and his followers. And then it goes, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, it's not a stretch to understand that when Jesus is talking about the promise of the Father, and he's telling them, you go and you tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The promise from the Father is the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? That's not a stretch at all. It's there. You just read it and you understand that what Jesus is talking about, this promise that is going to be sent, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. We understand that this power, here it is. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So before long, it's going to happen. You're going to go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, and the promise of the Father is going to come upon you. We understand that the promise of the Father is none other than the power of the Holy Ghost. And I know I'm reiterating it, and I know I don't mean to belabor the point, but we have to understand that this is fundamental scriptural doctrine. As we enter into the book of Acts, we discover almost immediately that the promise of the Father is the baptism of the what? The Holy Ghost. It's there. You can't argue with that. You can't argue with the fact that Jesus himself says the promise of the Father, it's the power of the Holy Ghost, and it's going to come upon you not many days hence. Right? Remember when we, now let's go back a little bit, back to last week. Remember what Jesus said concerning the Holy Ghost. What John recorded that Jesus said. Remember? He said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe should receive. What's that? Which is the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Now Jesus is saying, when you go to the city of Jerusalem and tarry, the Holy Ghost is going to be given. Now, we've already established that there are many facets of salvation. First and foremost, one has to believe. But there has to be more than just believing. If I truly believe, then there is an action that follows that belief. Because faith without works is dead. That's why the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, I have people say, well, see, it just says he that believeth not. It doesn't say that he that believeth not and is not baptized. I said, well, come on. I mean, think about it. Because the understanding is that if someone believes, they're baptized. Being baptized is the result of someone believing. So there's no reason to iterate. It's the understanding that if someone believes, they're going to be baptized. Would that not also work inversely? If someone does not get baptized, then how do we truly know that they believe? I'm getting off subject. Move on.
Acts 2, 1 through 8. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men. Pay attention to this next phrase. Out of every nation under heaven. Did not Jesus say in Luke 24 that it's going to begin at Jerusalem and it's going to be among all nations? Did he not say that? Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And here in Acts chapter 2 is the direct fulfillment of what Jesus said would happen. It's right there. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Right there. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue. And then it lists all these different countries where these Jews are from. Their different dialects, Medes and Perinthians. They have all these different areas that they are from, that they are now at the city of Jerusalem. They are worshiping at the city of Jerusalem, but they're from all these different nations, and they're at the day of Pentecost, and they hear all these men speak in their own tongue wherein they were born, and they say, How is this possible? Are these not all from Galilee? These are all Galileans. Yet we hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. Skip down to verse number 12. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? What is going on? What's happening? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So, a very simple fill in the blank. When the apostles were at Jerusalem waiting on the promise of the Holy Ghost, they, along with the others, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's the Spirit. It is a work of the Spirit. It is not something that I do. It's not something that I manufacture. It's not something that I'm able to just, I can speak in all these different languages and do it. No, it's nothing. It's not a man's work. It is a spiritual work. The Spirit gives the utterance. Make sense? Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. I understand that. It's not my work. It's a work of the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit gave the utterance. It was the Spirit. It was the promise of the Father. It was that supernatural power that Jesus said is going to come when you tarry at the city of Jerusalem. Acts 2, 36-39. Peter preaches Jesus unto them. Read it. Take some time. Read what Peter preaches unto those that are gathered there on the day of Pentecost. Those that were wondering what was going on and how these men were speaking in their own tongue wherein they were born. And Peter preaches Jesus unto them. And in verse 36, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Obviously the caps, I did. But it's the question. Men and brethren, what is our response to the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified? What is the correct response? Understand this. I know I've stated before and you probably heard it before. Repentance, baptism in his name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is the proper response to the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. Peter preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the men ask, what shall we do? What's our response to this great understanding that God made this same Jesus, both Lord and Christ, that we have crucified? What are we to do about it, Peter? How do we respond to this news? How do we respond to the understanding that Jesus Christ died for us? What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There were three directives that Peter gave to the question, what shall we do? How do we respond to this? How do we respond to the preaching of the cross? How do we respond to the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified? What do we do as a result of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter preaches this on the day of Pentecost. But we know that in his humanity, he struggles with the very concept. We know that it takes a vision, and it takes God speaking from heaven. After he has the vision, as he is on the top of the housetop of Simon the Tanner, and he has the vision of the unclean animals that are let down on a sheet, and the Lord speaks and says, arise, kill and eat. And Peter objects and says, oh no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that was common or unclean. I don't do that. And he said, listen, what I've blessed, call thou not common or unclean. And Peter, it all happens. And we understand, as you read the book of Acts, there's this seamless continuity that goes through the book of Acts in establishing salvation and establishing both the Jews in Acts chapter 2, the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, and the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And we're going to look at that. So let's look at Acts 8. Let's look at what happens with the Samaritans. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Kind of sounds like what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. What did Peter do? He preached Christ unto them. What does Philip do in Samaria? He preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake. What were those things which Philip spake? Christ. Christ and him crucified. That's what Philip spake. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in the city. The Bible says they also gave heed. We're going to see a little bit where they not only gave heed, but they believed. So let's answer the question. Did they have great joy? Yes, and there was great joy in that city. Okay, so let's go a little further. Verse 12, Acts chapter 8. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. When they what? They believed Philip. Preaching what? The things concerning the kingdom of God. What do you think he was preaching? What things concerning the kingdom of God was Philip preaching in Acts chapter 8? The thing that Jesus told him to preach in Luke 24. Repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. That's what Philip's preaching in Acts 8. It's not a stretch. You don't have to wonder what Philip's preaching about. He's preaching about Jesus. And when preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Did they believe? Yes. Were they baptized? Yes. Again, it goes back to the understanding that if one believes, then as a result of that belief, there is action. There is baptism. I hate to break it to some people, but being baptized is not an outward show of an inward work of faith. No way. If that's the case, then why do we have all the examples of every time in the scripture when somebody believed they were baptized? It's there. Oh, I know. I've heard them. I'm sure you've heard them. Well, what about somebody that's maybe they're on their deathbed? And please, I'm not being demeaning. I'm not being injurious. It's an honest question. What about someone who doesn't have opportunity to be baptized? My first response is, wait. The Lord created water in the desert for Philip to baptize a eunuch. So I kind of believe where there's a will, there's a way. And if somebody wants to be baptized, I've heard of them bringing in inflatable pools and inflating them, and even people that are on their deathbed and couldn't move, and they move them over in an inflatable pool and fill the water and baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. But what about? Listen, I am not God. He is sovereign, and he ultimately decides who is saved and who is not saved. But I, according to the word of God, am going to be judged by the word. Remember, we talked about that last week. And right now, if I have opportunity to obey, do I believe? If I believe, then every example I have in the Bible shows me that they did something as a result of their belief. There was something that happened as a result of that belief. So I'm sorry. I will not in any way, shape, or form. I won't compromise on that. I believe it is not an outward show of an inward work of faith. It is an outward show, yes, but it is absolutely essential according to the word of God. We are buried with him in baptism. So if we are not baptized, how are we buried with him? And if we are not buried with him, how do we resurrect? All right, got off the material. Let me get back. Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they received the word of God. It's right there. They sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let me show something here. There is a doctrine that says when someone is baptized in water, that at that point they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If that is true, you have to take Acts 8 out of the Bible. Because here it specifically says that they were baptized, they received the word, there was great joy, but they did not yet have the Holy Ghost. Right there. It's not my word, it's the word. It's not my opinion or my interpretation, it is the unadulterated word of God presented as it is. So let's ask the question. Did they receive the Holy Ghost as a separate and distinct experience? Yes. Now, let me answer another obvious objection that may come. The people will read Acts chapter 8 and they will say, well, the Bible doesn't say specifically that those in Samaria spoke with tongues. And you know what? You're right. It does not say specifically that those in Samaria spoke with tongues. But it does say that when Peter and John came down and laid their hands on them, we do know for a fact that something happened that was visible and undeniable, that Simon looks at Peter and says, I'll pay you money so that when I lay my hands on people, it happens to them. Now, it's not a far stretch to look at all the other examples in the Bible, one of which is Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 19, which we're going to look at here in just a little bit, and understand that undeniable experience, and please understand, I am not in any way, shape, or form condemning or demeaning someone's experience thus far, but can I please ask this question? Why would a supernatural birth, something that is the promise of the Father, something that is the power of the Holy Ghost, why would it be anything other than something supernatural? And to tell people that without anything that they they can see anything that happens in their life that is undeniable, a supernatural power move of God, and to tell them that they have received the Holy Ghost without receiving a supernatural experience, I'm sorry. I will not do that. I will show what the Word of God says. And though Acts 8 does not specifically say that they spoke with tongues, it does let us know that they knew they had not received the Holy Ghost yet. They had joy. There was miracles. They believed. They were baptized. But something else had to happen before they recognized that those at Samaria had received the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father. Moving on. So let's go to Acts chapter 10. Don't stop in Acts chapter 8. Go to Acts chapter 10. Let's look at some more examples. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Was Cornelius a devout believer? Well, if he wasn't a believer, why was he praying to God always? Why was he given much alms? It's not a stretch to understand that Cornelius, the Bible says he was a devout man. He was a believer. We don't know how or why. We don't know what happened in Cornelius' life. The Bible doesn't give us the history on Cornelius. We don't know at what stage. We don't know if it was as a young man. We don't know. We don't know. We just know that at this point in time in his life, Cornelius is a devout believer. Yes, he is a devout believer. So let's move on. This is what? He's praying. And an angel, he has an angelic visitation, and an angel comes to him and tells him, "Now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou, what? Ought to do." If believing is enough, why the angelic visitation? If all we have to do is believe, if faith is the only prerequisite for salvation, why the angelic visitation? Why this devout man who prayed to God always and gave much alms? Why an angelic visitation where the angel says, "You've got more to do. Send for Peter. He dwells in the one, Simon a tanner. Call for him. He's going to tell you what you have to do." Was there more for Cornelius to do? Yes or no? Evidently, just believing wasn't enough. Just praying and giving alms and being a devout man wasn't enough. Because an angel comes and says, "Hey, corny man, it's more for you, bud." Here's the thing. Here's what I want people to understand. I am not demeaning. I'm not bashing your experience. But is it possible that if there was more for Cornelius, there's more for you? If there's more for a devout man who prayed to God always and gave much alms to the people, if there was more for him, is it possible that there's more for you? Certainly, yes, there was more for Cornelius to do. Go down to verse number 44. While Peter yet spake these words, it hasn't happened, but I'm looking for it, and I'm praying for the day that one day while I'm in the middle of preaching, somebody receives a baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've heard of it happen. I've heard testimonies of how it's happened for individuals as they're teaching a Bible study or as they're preaching in a house and all of a sudden someone just receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hadn't happened for me yet, but I'm looking for it. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that's the Jews. Now, I'm going to give you a little tidbit here. When Peter is recalling this event, when he's talking to the elders, he is recalling what happens at the house of Cornelius. He's establishing that the Holy Ghost has been poured out on the Gentiles as well. But when he does this, when he recounts this event, the Bible lets us know that at that time there are six men with him. He says, I and six brethren. Read it. It's there. He recalls it. In other words, Peter is the seventh guy. Now, if you understand anything about numbering in the Bible, you understand seven is a number of completion. You look at the tabernacle plan. There were six steps before they came before the veil. Coming before the veil with blood in one hand and incense in the other, that's the sixth step. That's as far as man can go. The seventh step is a God step. Jericho, they walked around the walls for 6 days. On the seventh day, it's a God step. 6 days, he created creation, and on the sixth day, he created man. On seventh, he rested. It's a God step. So understand this. When Peter is walking into the house of Cornelius, he was there for the Jews on the day of Pentecost. He preached. It wasn't until he and John came down in Acts chapter 8 that the Samaritans received the Holy Ghost. And so it's no wonder that here in Acts 10 for the Gentiles, it's Pete who's walking in. It's Pete who is preaching. What is he speaking on? Jesus Christ. And while he's yet preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which believed. Look at it. Which heard the word, and they, the circumcision, the Jews, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? What happened in that room? At what point could Peter identify the Holy Ghost fell? When while I preached, while I spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell. How did you know the Holy Ghost fell, Pete? How did you know that God had also poured out upon the Gentiles the promise of the Father, the gift of the Holy Ghost? How did you know? What was it that fulfilled what you said back on the day of Pentecost? As many as the Lord our God shall call, even those that are afar off. Which is what they believed the Gentiles were, afar off. How did you know? What was the evidence, Pete? Did the Holy Ghost fell on them? How did you know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. It is not a stretch to understand. The same thing that happened in Acts chapter 10 happened in Acts chapter 8. And even though Acts chapter 8 doesn't say it specifically, in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10 it does. So why would there have been anything different that took place in Acts chapter 8? Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Did Cornelius and his household receive the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues? Yes or no? Yes. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Got 5 minutes. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Did Peter command Cornelius and his household to be baptized in the name of the Lord? Yes. Why? Because it's what Jesus said that had to be preached. And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He commanded them, you have to repent. You have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so just because they received the Holy Ghost first, Pete said, well, wait a second. There's still another element. Well, come on, Pete. Obviously, they've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You heard them speak with tongues. Yep, but they still need to be baptized. And Peter commanded them, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it says, in the name of the Lord. Okay, so let's go to Acts chapter 19. 4 minutes. Moving on. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, I thought about this. John, they're disciples of John, are they not? And did not John say, as Paul, it's like Paul reminds them, wait a second, you have heard of this Holy Ghost. You may not have heard that it's fallen, that it's been given, but you've heard of this Holy Ghost. Look at this. Well, let's answer the question. Were the disciples of John believers? Yes. Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Yes, they were believers. Had they received the Holy Ghost? No. They said, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And then Paul reminds him. He says, wait a second. He says, listen, what then were you baptized? He said, well, under John's baptism. We said, listen, John commanded you that you should follow after Jesus, the one that should come after him. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Did the disciples of John receive the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues? Yes or no? Yes. They received the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. Hold on. Did I miss one? No. Stand up. Would you please stand? Sorry. Didn't mean to be curt. Forgive me. Biblical salvation, it's not confusing. It's pretty plain in the Word of God. What the Word of God says, this is the plan of salvation. Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, all confirmations, all let us know. So what about all these other religions, doctrines, dogmas? Listen, I am not accountable for what they do. I'm accountable for what I do. I'm not accountable for what they preach and teach. I'm accountable for what I preach and teach. They will have to stand before God. But as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have to stand before people. And I have to say, this is what I believe to be the biblical plan of salvation. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, we understand that there is evidence that a supernatural birth has taken place, that someone has been born again. And since we're all going to be judged by the Word of God, then I must use the Word of God as the sole source for what it takes to be saved. I don't deal in what ifs. Can I just be plain enough to say it? I don't deal with what ifs. God is sovereign. Okay? But what I do deal with is His Word. And His Word shows us repentance, baptism in His name for the remission of sins, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And of those instances in the Bible where people received the Holy Ghost, it says it specifically, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. It only makes sense that the same thing happened in Acts chapter 8. If someone receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father, it does, I believe, the Spirit takes the most unruly member of the body, which James says is our tongue, and the Spirit gives the utterance. Next week, we're going to go into the epistles. We're going to look at what some of the other apostles, writers of the New Testament, had to say concerning the gospel, concerning the plan of salvation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love You. And I pray, God, our hearts are open to receive Your word. God, I pray that we would have a greater grasp, understanding of what biblical salvation is. Lord, if anyone on the sound of my voice has not experienced all that You have for them, Lord, I would that they would prayerfully consider, God, the Scriptures, God. Oh, not my opinion, not anybody's interpretation, Lord, but that they would bury their own face in the book and honestly ask the question, Lord, show me. Oh, Lord, I believe that Your Word does just that. I believe, God, that a study like this shows, God, unequivocally, that this is the plan of salvation. This is how we are saved. Your death, burial, and resurrection, repentance, baptism in Your name, and the infilling of Your Spirit, and the evidence of that according to Your word.
is that we speak with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. We love you. We thank you for your word. Challenge us, God. Renewing our heart and minds, God. Greater understanding, God, of what it means, God, to be saved according to your word. In your precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in the precious name of Jesus.